stated. Love those kids. Love those kids, you all. What a great year to just keep encouraging our kids, how much we love them and love one another. And good, our first Sunday of the year. Fun Sunday of the year. So we want to just lift up the Lord. And you know, this God bless us in the year 2018. He truly blessed us with an awesome year, didn't he? And he has brought us to 2019, and we're so thankful that he has allowed us to come here on this morning, our first worship service of 2019. You know, I generally sing a song I was going to until the kids picked me up. So I will forego that this morning. I want you all to be open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 20. You know, our time off at the end of the year, we just had an opportunity, Shell and I, you know, we're just getting some things done, and it just gave me an opportunity to really think and pray and ask for God's wisdom and guidance, and you all, the church has just been on my heart, the church in the whole, but specifically the Poto Church of Christ, and I don't know what it was. I just could not get my arms around really what I wanted to, what I want the Lord to work through me to give to you all. And I just prayed about it, and we got back off of vacation, and I think it was on a Wednesday. You know, after we came in, you know, this past Wednesday, in the Spirit, I promise you, the Spirit just put this on me and just gave me that peace that I so truly needed to take me where I think we need to go as a congregation. And it was just like a big burden lifted off my shoulders to know that where do we want to start in 2019? You know, church, as we all know, we are living in some trying times that we're living in now, and we truly need some authentic, godly leadership in our nation and in the Lord's church. And so God just led, the Spirit of God led me to this month, as you've seen in your bulletin. I want to just preach this month, dedicate this month, preaching on leadership. Leadership, I think, is desperately needed. And I think that true, authentic, godly leadership must be our foundation as the Poto Church of Christ. And so I wanted to start with simply asking you the question this morning. And church, I want you really, really, as I had to do, and I hope you would do, I hope you would just honestly take a look deep within yourself. Don't look at anybody else. Don't think about it, but think about you and think about what God wants to do through you. So you ask yourself the question I asked myself: what makes a leader? What makes a good leader? Is it rank? Is it status? You all know the world we live in, you all, it's all about status. Is it being this celebrity or maybe a style? What makes a good leader is because maybe you think that leadership is simply you being bestowed upon you by you checking a box that says leader. Does that make you a leader? Where do position and power figure into the formula of leadership? So what is the ideal model for leadership? What's the ideal model for leaders? And is it the corporate CEO? I thought deep about this, and Is it this great military commander, or is it the head of state? What makes a good leader? And so Jesus, brethren, has all the answers. And I prayed, and the Spirit just led me to this passage. And all those questions that I just put before you this morning, we find in the Word of God. And Jesus' view of leadership, church, are way out of step with what conventional wisdom of our age. And I want you this morning to listen to what Jesus says leadership looks like. In Matthew chapter 20, and now I know the passage is going to begin in verse 25, but I'm going to get there. That's what we're going to focus on. But I want to go back to verse 17. I want to give you the context of what Jesus is dealing with. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. The Bible says, "Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, 'Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again.' And then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' And she said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' They said to him, 'We are able.' And Jesus said to them, his answer is very interesting. He says, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with.'" Jesus was saying to his disciples, "Oh, you're going to suffer. You're going to die." And he says to them, "But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, when these disciples heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them." Now, this is where we're going to put our focus. Verse 26, "Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Let him be your doulos." That's the Greek word. "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So, church, according to Jesus, according to the Christ, the truest kind of leadership demands service. The truest kind of leadership demands sacrifice. Brethren, the truest kind of leadership, according to Jesus, demands spiritual obligations. That's true, brethren, for the Christian president of a secular company, as it is for the stay-at-home mother whose sphere of leadership may not extend no farther than her own children. Brethren, all Christians in every kind of leadership are called to be spiritual leaders. Let me repeat myself. All Christians in every kind of leadership are called to be spiritual leaders. And brethren, and I'm not just speaking to ministers. I'm not just speaking to elders. I'm not just speaking to deacons or Bible school teachers. Brethren, every leader who is also a Christian, brethren, including the manager at Walmart, including the basketball coach, including the baseball coach, including the public school kindergarten teacher, needs to remember, church, that the leadership role is a spiritual responsibility. Amen. And the people, church, that we lead, they are a stewardship from God, for which one day, brethren, every single one of us will be called to give an account. Well, you say, well, preacher, that may not really apply to me, but let me share a parable with you. It's not on the screen, but let me just go here. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in the verses 14, Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability." I want you to know this morning that every single one of us in here, we have a talent. Every single one of us. And it is given, brethren, to our own ability. And he says, and immediately he went on a journey. Just God is saying is, do what you are able to do. Do what you have the ability to do. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. I'm here to tell us this morning, church, that Jesus is coming back. He was gone a long time, and he came back to settle accounts. He's going to settle accounts with us, brethren. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of our Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. At my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, if you truly understand your accountability before God as a leader, you can begin to see why Christ portrayed the leader as a servant. Brethren, he was not suggesting, as many have supposed, that lowliness alone is the essence of leadership. There are, brethren, many. Christ, he demands selflessness. And let me tell you, church, a proud and self-promoting person is not a good leader by Christ's standard. Regardless of how much clout he or she may have, leaders, brethren, who look to Christ as their leader and their supreme model of leadership will have a servant's heart. Will have a servant's heart, brethren, and they will exemplify sacrifice. Amen. They will exemplify sacrifice. And I realize, brethren, those aren't characteristics that most people associate with leadership, but they're essential qualities of a biblical approach to leadership, which is the only kind of leadership that we ought to be interested in. So I want you to notice, church, that Jesus was expressly teaching Christians to approach leadership in a different way and from a radically different viewpoint than the leaders of this world. Well, why would he do that, preacher? Because it is foolish, brethren, for Christians to assume that the best way for Christians to learn leadership is from worldly examples. We cannot, brethren, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and the verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, for you are the salt of the earth. He says, you are the light of the world. Brethren, there's a crucial reason for this. It's because leadership for the Christian always has a spiritual dimension. Amen? Brethren, the duty of leading people carries with it certain and plentiful. It's about humility. It's about meekness. It's about tenderheartedness. It's about servanthood. Servant-minded people, brethren, who has those kind of qualities are leaders, brethren. But if you have this self-pride and you have this selfishness, church, you need to understand you are not the kind of leader that God is calling you to be as a Christian. But a true leader, brethren, inspires followers. Am I right? Someone who does not have any followers cannot be called a leader. Inspiration, brethren, lights the fire. Brethren, let me tell you something. You can train people all day long until you blew in the face, brethren. But if they are not inspired, don't expect anything from them. Why is that? Because they need to be inspired, church. They need to know why they serve, not just how to serve. Amen. Am I right about it? Brother, you got to know why you serve, church. And so to put it simply, brethren, leadership is influence. All right? The ideal leader is someone whose life and character motivate people to follow. And the best kind of leadership, church, gets its authority first from the force of righteous example. Right? Brother, let me tell you something. And not merely from power of prestige or personality or our position, brethren. The real leadership seeks to motivate people from the inside by an appeal, brethren, to the heart, not by the external pressure and coercion, but it's from the heart. Brother, if you're going to be a leader in the Lord's church, if you're going to be a spiritual, I just want you to know, we're called to be spiritual leaders, brethren, from the inside. It's from my heart, church. For all those reasons, leadership is not about style. It's not about technique as much as it's about character. Brethren, you got to have the character if you want to be a leader. You want proof that effective leadership is not just about style. Because some people think, well, I don't have it to be a leader. Listen, brethren, I want you to notice just a number of different leadership styles that are modeled in Scripture. Y'all remember Elijah? Elijah was a loner and a prophet, but Elijah was a leader, brethren. You may think to yourself, well, you know, I don't have that charisma. You don't have to have that charisma, because it's not about that. It's about your heart. You say, well, Moses, brethren, Moses, he delegated things. He delegated duties to trusted people whom he kept close to him. See, a good godly leader learns how to delegate. Peter, we all know how Peter was brash, but Peter was a leader. But God used him, church. And John was that tender-hearted, and he was a leader. But he was tender-hearted, and the Apostle Paul, church, we know, was a dynamic leader. Even when he was in chains, brethren, he influenced people primarily through the force of his words. And we know, brethren, it was his words because it was not his looks. Amen? Read 2 Corinthians. Paul was not an attractive man. But in fact, they said, your words are contemptible, Paul. When we see you, you don't look good. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Brother, you don't have to wear a suit to have some influence. You don't have to have an S on your chest to have some influence. So, brother, all these people, so all these men were men of action, and all of them used their diverse gifts in different ways, and their leadership styles were varied and different, but all of them was true, authentic leaders. Here's the mistake that we make as Christians in positions of leadership, brethren, to be more concerned with the current popular in the corporate world than what the Lord has taught us about leadership. We're more concerned about what we learn in the corporate world and what that looks like. And so we don't become a spiritual leader by studying the techniques, brethren, of corporate CEOs. Amen? See, there's so much more, brethren, to Christ-like leadership. And again, true spiritual leadership is all about character. See, church, it's not about style. And doesn't it seem obvious that the Apostle Paul would have, brethren, more to teach Christians about how to lead than we can ever learn from Donald Trump, from Barack Obama, from Bill Clinton, from George W. Bush. Come on, y'all. Y'all see what we do, brethren? We look to these people in the world, brethren, instead of looking to Jesus. Amen. And so our culture today, church, is crying out for these pragmatic solutions and easy formulas and three steps and four steps and 12-step programs to answer every human need. And these things will never answer our human need, brethren. But we find in Acts chapter 27, in 2 Corinthians, show Paul at his best as the leader. And it shows us, brethren, what we ought to be. This is it right here, church. Paul himself, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul writes, Therefore I urge you to follow me. And then he said in verse chapter 11, in verse 1, he says, imitate me. Why, Paul? As I imitate Christ. Y'all see, brethren, he was a true example of Christ-like leader. So what we learn from the Apostle Paul is the same thing that Jesus taught. That character, church, not style, not technique, not methodology, but character, brethren, is a true biblical test for great leadership. Brethren, don't get me wrong, entrepreneurship is a wonderful thing. But the most skilled entrepreneur in the world, brethren, without character, is not a true leader. Strategic planning, brethren, is important, but if you don't have leaders, whom will follow? Brethren, your strategic plan will fail. And church, the clarity of you can draft a purpose statement all day long, but the true spiritual leader must go beyond just merely clarifying people's focus. The real leader is an example to follow. And the best example to follow, as Paul knew, is the one who follows Christ. Well, let me give you this. That the great leader, church, spiritual leaders, start off as great followers. Come on, preacher. You can't be a leader, brethren. You can't be a great spiritual leader if you're not willing to follow. So scripture, not the corporate world, not the political arena, church. Scripture is our authoritative source we need to turn to in order to learn the truth about spiritual leadership. And brethren, listen, biblical principles of leadership are not principles for the church only. You hear me, brethren? In fact, Christians ought to be the trendsetters for all secular and corporate and political leadership rather than this thoughtlessness, brethren, borrowing from the world that seems to work. Brethren, listen. Church, I prided myself in being a spiritual leader when I was in corporate America. I prided myself that I wasn't going to go. I knew what the corporation wanted and needed. But as a child of God, I was going to be a spiritual leader in Georgia Pacific Corporation. And brother, let me tell y'all something. And no glory to me, the glory goes to God. But you know who the folk wanted to work for? It was me. Why, brethren? Because I tried to imitate Christ. Did I get it right every time? No, but I did. That was my focus, church. And so every one of us, brethren, are supposed to be a leader. And obviously, brethren, we know that everyone is not called to be a leader at the same level, or the leadership by definition would exist that we know. But Jesus says, Paul says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Right? And so, brother, he is calling us to be leaders. And it's a mandate, brethren, that we influence others. He's given us a great commission to go out and make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and to teach them to observe all things that Christ has commanded. And the Hebrew writer, brethren, let me tell you, he rebuked his readers for their spiritual immaturity. He says in Hebrews 5:12, by this time you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teachers, but you need to be taught yourself. Again, the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. God is saying, brethren, through the Hebrew writer, that every single one of us is called, brethren, to be some leaders and to grow in Christ. Amen. That means growing our character. Growing our integrity. And so we're all called to be influenced, church. That's what I want us to get. And to teach folk about Christ. So therefore, no matter what your status is, no matter what your position is, no matter what your giftness is or your occupation, you are called to be a leader at some level. Y'all hear me? Brother, I'm just starting the new year out with this to help you understand, church. As Jesus said, and we cannot miss this, brethren. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Poto Church of Christ, humble yourselves. That's for all of us, brethren. So that means in 2019, we've got to work together. It's not about either one of us, it's about all of us. And if you're going to be a leader, brethren, be a spiritual leader. Be a spiritual leader. I know we're human, and we sometimes get caught up in our humanness. And this is for everybody, brethren. It's for everybody. We need to serve one another. We need to be dodulos. My objective ought to be, how can I serve you, not how you can serve me. That ought to be my objective. That's our foundation, Porto Church of Christ. We're going to build on that foundation. Because we need some true, authentic, biblical leaders more. Let me put it like this. We need more authentic biblical leaders in this congregation. You know why? Because our leaders now, me included, is getting old. No, y'all don't hear me. I'm serious. Only the Lord knows, but tomorrow ain't promised us. And if we're not raising up some authentic, godly leaders, brethren, where will the church be 20 years from now? Amen. God has charged me. As Paul told Timothy, I charge you, set the church in order. Preach the word, Timothy. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, correct with all long-suffering and doctrine. Let me tell you all something. Porto Church of Christ, I've gotten older. And I hope and pray I've gotten wiser. So it ain't about my style. I hope you like my style, but if you don't, too bad. Because this is what the Lord has done. And this is where we got to go, church. And if we will stay, church, if we will stay and build on this foundation, for every man and every woman and every girl and every boy, brethren, that ain't no stopping the Porto Church of Christ and what we can do in the Lord. Amen. But first of all, it's going to have to be me and you emptying self. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. Y'all got it? I'm serious. I want the Lord to say to me, when is that time and I have to face him? Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. 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 You've been faithful over few things. Now make you ruler over many. Come and enter into the joys of the Lord. I hope that's what you want to hear. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, brethren, I plead with you. I urge you. I beg you. Come to him before it's eternally too late. Church, every day I wake up now, every year I get older, I think more and more about eternity. I can rest my head on my pillow at night, knowing that the Lord calls me home, I'm going to be all right. I ain't homesick. I want to do so much more for the Lord. I truly do. But I know if that's not in his plan to keep me here, I know I'll be better off. But while I'm here, I want to have the attitude that I'm your servant, Lord. You come to him by faith. Repenting of your sins, confessing it, putting them on in the water of grave of baptism that you may be raised up to walk in a newness of life. God would add you to the church. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And brethren, for all of us that are baptized believers, God has given us a gift. And he has gifted us through the Holy Spirit. He has gifted us. I want you, God wants you to use your gift. Don't hide it. But you use it with the right attitude. The right motivation, the right motive. And it's for his glory and for the edification of the body of Christ. Won't you come?